Welcome to podcast episode 6 of the Playing with the Boys podcast. It's your boy Boney at underscore Boney. And tonight I'm here with the gang of misfits. We have Aaron McGee on his iPad sitting in an empty parking lot. Say hi, Aaron.
We all bow down to your manliness, Boney.
Then we have Angry Mike, a.k.a. at Klee Wolverine. Mike, say hi. Yeah, you're always... I had to mute your ass the other day. We'll get into that, I guess.
Mike is on a park bench next to Goon Liana stealing Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And then we have Mark, the father figure of the podcast, whispering quietly, whispering sweet nothings into his microphone tonight. Mm-hmm. Mark, please say hi.
I will turn this fucking car around right now.
He is in a termite-tented house broadcasting live with fumes being shot inside his home.
We are termite-free. Thank you.
Nice.
I hope.
Anyway. So since two of the four of you have decided to make a list of topics, one of you please start so that we can follow the program.
Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about a few things. I assume we should get this out of the way right at the beginning and just get the World Cup stuff over with. But I think we need to talk briefly about how big soccer snob has come out in the World Cup. God. Like, I'm trying to get into it, but I want to fucking kill some of the people who are actually following. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have one particular one that's been blowing me up, and I'm a big soccer fan, but I don't pretend to know that I know everything. But, yeah, I got into a bit of a fisticuff last night with a follower. I actually got kind of personal with him because he just wouldn't stop being such a huge dick.
Tell me about it. Tell me about your problems.
How do you get fisticuffs over the internet? I'm interested.
Well, it's an internet fisticuffs, Boney.
Okay. I've been in plenty of those.
I know you have. I've been in them with you.
You seek them out.
You do seek them out.
Yeah, I couldn't care any less than anyone ever about soccer. Soccer's horrible, but I did watch the USA-Ghana game. But I don't know what's like. I don't really care about Soccer Snob because Soccer Snob's just an idiot, so I don't care.
Right. Well, Soccer Snob's a guy that probably has never gotten laid before.
Wow.
And probably doesn't have any friends.
Soccer Snob's always the guy, too, that gets pissed when Brad Ausmus makes a joke about beating his wife.
I don't think those are two similar topics. I didn't see.
No.
I don't think those could be any different.
So Boney got 5 minutes into today's podcast before he had to show that he's sexist.
No.
I mean, we already knew that.
Screw Soccer Snob, dude.
Agree.
Right. And, you know, like yesterday, Spain, they're called the Reds. I said La Roja, but then I had to be corrected and said, no, it's La Furia Roja, Mike. And I just wanted to explode. And then the day before, Thomas Müller gets a hat trick for Germany. I forgot the two little dots over the U in my tweet.
Müller. So
I had to be corrected on that.
When you speak about the motherland, you will say the name correctly.
Sorry, Führer. Sorry, my Führer.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to sit around and watch every single World Cup game. I mean, I know I'm off work, paid for like 62 more days, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sit around and watch, you know, the Ivory Coast play the Cokeheads. And
the Cokeheads are really good.
The Cokeheads are really good because they're all hyped up on pure Colombian,
but you know, like if
marching powder.
Like if you're gonna watch like Greece and Japan, like that's where I draw the line. And I'm a huge soccer fan. But it's just so boring. Like I'm not watching Iran versus Japan or something.
Yeah, as a less than casual soccer fan, because I'm not a soccer fan at all. I did watch.
Tell us more how much you don't like soccer.
it's not, you know, it's not, I don't have anything against soccer. Like, I'm not anti-soccer snob where I'm going to tell everybody they can't like soccer because I don't. But, like I said, I did watch the U.S. because I have a rooting interest in my country. I want my country to do well. But I just don't understand the, like, I see these people and are just cheering, like, for other countries, and I just don't get – that's the biggest turnoff for me about the World Cup is I can't root for Brazil. I've never been to Brazil. I'm not Brazilian. I don't know any Brazilians.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying. But, like, if you watch club soccer over in Europe, you become fans of players and different teams and things, so you're going to naturally gravitate towards the players that you like to watch. I mean, I'm wanting the USA to win first, but I'm also rooting for players that are on my favorite club teams over in Europe.
All right, so let me ask you this. So if you're from, like, Miami, Florida, or Southern Florida, or whatever, and for whatever reason, like, you're really into soccer, and what makes you a fan of, say, just, you know, hearsay, but what makes you a fan of the Italian team and you, like, never make mention of the team of your own country? It just, I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, I think the certain individual talking about flips his nose to the United States team because they're not good enough for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wager that at no point is the gentleman that we're talking about ever visited any part of the boot whatsoever.
I'm not so sure about that.
You think he's actually visited the motherland and that he's over there, you know, spitballing and making
girls feel
uncomfortable?
No, I think he's probably been there, though.
Okay.
Thinking it.
Well, I've been to Canada.
He is considerable monies, I believe.
Well, he does. His family does. Yeah. I've been to West Virginia once. That's like another country.
That is like another country. I've been to Columbus. That's like another country.
Columbus is a very smart city. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from soccer, Mark. What's the next topic you didn't inform anyone about?
Well, I informed Mike. You know, like, you guys share little text messages, and I share messages with Mike. He's, you know, you're not the only one who's friends with him, Aaron. Is that okay?
Yeah.
No, it's not okay, but okay, go ahead.
Well, last night we had a little bit of an issue, a little bit late at night.
Why are you whispering?
Dude, I'm sitting in the fucking corner of my house right now. Everyone's asleep. Yeah. I'm trying not to draw the wrath of my family.
Because, yeah, Mark's a family man.
Yeah, I'm in my house, you know.
Termite fumes, fuck with guys' heads.
Wow, that was a below-the-belt shot that Aaron didn't catch.
It's fine. So, Aaron, what are you driving?
Boney, why did I get muted?
Okay, so we're talking about last night with the...
we're talking about the fact that you were sifting through people's tweets from more than 3 years ago just to be a dickhead.
So to be fair, all right, to me, I was laying down and I just happened to see our bud Trailer CJ tweeting about. Yeah, I mean, he was sitting in his trailer park with his dial-up internet searching old tweets. So I saw him tweet a couple, and they were you know, of our. Friend of note, Lance, who always has outrageous predictions, and you can always count on some from him. So that was my initial target.
Six aces.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So I just started doing it, and then I thought, like, I'm going to go through all these Michigan fans I can think of and just type the word Brady Hoke after it and see what kind of tweets they had about Brady Hoke. My favorite one, honestly, Mark, you didn't really have too much, and neither did Mike. But the one I found that really, really entertained me was that when it's all said and done, Brady Hoke will have 3 national championships and 8 Big Ten titles. Call me crazy if you want, but I say he does it all in 12 years. That was my favorite one that
who,
I found.
Who? Who?
That was our friend Darren. I don't know anything else. R-U-H-R-O-W-E-G-B-O-D.
Oh, my goodness.
That had to be.
And now he's leading the firing squad of Brady Hoke. No, it was from 2012 or 2011. He was pretty serious. It was after the 11-2 season.
Well, that wasn't me.
Hello?
What?
What the fuck?
I had to sneeze. Okay, I have a mute button on my microphone. Shut up.
I tried to do the same thing with Aaron and all the things that he trolled about. I couldn't retweet them because they ended up coming true.
Is Aaron still on the call?
I was trying to find your exposed basketball tweet, but I imagine that you erased that.
I did. So
yeah, I know.
So all right, let's all come clean here, and let's just be honest with our like. Go back the last couple years, and what is the absolute worst thought you like prediction that you truly believe wasn't trolling? Something you said that just went awfully wrong.
I already know yours.
Yeah, mine is quite, you know, just obvious, and I've come clean with it. Is that I thought my guy Brandon Weeden, and I thought this before the draft. This wasn't like a orange or brown colored glasses thing. I thought that Brandon Weeden was going to be a really good pro quarterback. So I'm no Ron Jaworski when it comes to evaluating quarterback talent. Apparently.
All right. What about you, Boney? What's an outlandish prediction that you made that just didn't come true at all?
Just pick one, Boney.
Actually, on Twitter, I can't remember.
Just in life.
In life.
Be honest with yourself.
Successful?
Yeah, to be successful and in my career. No, I think the biggest predictions I've ever made that have come back to me have been like whenever the Tigers or the Pistons have been down, you know, in a series, in an elimination game, and then I'd go on like the opposing team's blog or whatever, and I'd say, oh, Anibal Sanchez is going to shut him down tonight. And then, of course, you know, the team loses in possibly the most heartbreaking fashion ever, which means I can't go back to that blog for at least 2 months. Otherwise, I'm just going to be bitching at everybody like a spoiled fucking brat.
I'm having a hard time picking mine because I made two that I regret. But I'll go ahead and go with this one. October 2012, Tigers in 5 in the World Series.
That's not a too terrible one, though. I mean, at least they were in the World Series.
They got swept.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that's...
What's the other one you're going against?
I thought that the Lions were going to win their division last year after being 6-3 at Thanksgiving. and then they went 1-7.
Well, that's like when, you know, we thought the Browns were going to be good last year when they were in first place after 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it was.
You got the GLC, though.
Mike, yeah, that's all that matters. Mike, what was yours?
This is pretty embarrassing. This year, I predicted for the Cavaliers to be a top 4 seed in the East and win close to 50 games.
You know what, though? We both won our bet that they would win more games than the Pistons.
Yeah, but that's not saying anything.
Yeah, it's a lottery. You're supposed to lose more if you're not going to make the playoffs.
Well... I mean, we won more than you, but still got the lottery. But well, yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Because you got the lottery, we didn't get a pick.
I know. That's great.
Awesome.
And then I would have to say anything that I said good about Brady Hoke. Anything.
I have come to the realization today, and I'm kind of proud of it, but... I'm accepting the fact that Brady Hoke is Ron Zook. I'm just gonna have to live with that.
Yeah, he's a really good recruiter.
Really good recruiter. But see, then, Ron Zook did something that Brady Hoke has never done. Went to a Rose Bowl and beat Ohio State in Columbus.
Well, if you get a superstar coach in there next, you can win a national championship with all Brady Hoke's players.
It's not gonna happen. It's not going to happen.
Why not?
I've talked about this on 3 different podcasts. I can't do it again. I don't want to do it. I'm going to I will run a hot bath and open my veins if I have to do that again.
Oh, no Jim Harbaugh coming to Michigan.
It's not going to happen.
Or John or Jim or whichever one it was.
Oh, my God.
No Harbaugh is coming to Michigan.
That's too bad.
They're going to have to go pick up some dude from 1AA and reestablish the culture.
Yeah.
Someone else talk. I'm going to punch something.
Now, I would actually think that if Harbaugh gets fired from the 49ers, I wouldn't put it past him to go to Michigan, because he's practically going to run himself out of the NFL just with his, you know, he seems like the kind of like hot-headed guy that would run himself out of the league temporarily.
It won't happen. He's made either the NFC title game or the Super Bowl every year he's coached in the NFL.
Yeah, but they were just talking about trading him to the fucking Browns.
That was because they were tired of Denver. Never going to happen.
But last offseason, they were talking about not giving him an extension, which they still haven't given to him.
All right,
still haven't given to him.
We should make a bet then. I say if Jim Harbaugh ever leaves the 49ers to come to Michigan, then I will shave your portrait into the back of my head.
Tattoo.
No.
No, I'm not getting a tattoo. That's stupid. I already have one Bony stupid tattoo.
No, I'm not sitting here with a strong enough proclamation saying, oh, Harbaugh's going to end up there. But I think there's a lot better chance of him ending up there than the three of us sitting here saying, fuck that, he's never coming to Michigan, and completely throwing it out as an option.
I want to get, if you can make a legitimate, well-reasoned argument
for why he would
do that. What is it?
I just did. He's the kind of guy that clearly could be run out of the NFL for a short period of time because he's having issues with his own front office.
Says who? TMZ?
Dude.
TMZ Span.
There's a reason why he hasn't gotten an extension, and he's been to all of those games.
He will get an extension. All right, topic number three on the rundown, Mark, go.
Should sex offenders be castrated?
Yes. Topic why? Four, go.
Well, no, we have to expand on that for more than 30 seconds.
If that's a real topic, I mean, no,
okay,
because there's different levels of sex offenders.
Here's the deal. Right. Here in Florida, we have a hive of sex offenders. I mean, if you do a search for your neighborhood on the map gets acne. So many red dots pop up.
Juliana lives in Florida.
there was a story today. It's probably going to make national news that this guy who lives right outside of Tampa, he was a registered sex offender. He got out of prison and he made friends with these kids who then kidnapped one of the kid's sisters, drove her out of the state, and then when the cops pulled him over, he just started stabbing her and then started stabbing himself. Now, luckily, the girl survived, but this guy got out of jail after being a registered sex offender. He got out in 2012, and it was like his third offense. Now, what the fuck? To me, they should just hold a blowtorch to these dudes. They should cut off their hands and blowtorch their testicles. That way you can't touch anyone and you can't fuck anyone ever again.
I mean, what level of registered or sex offender are we talking? Because, I mean, we all know the story of the, 19-year-old dude who screwed around with a 17-year-old girl and is a registered sex offender at age 30 now. So, I mean, does he deserve to have his junk cut off? Probably not. But, yeah, if you rape a child in your, adult life, do you need to have your nuts cut off? I think that's a fair punishment.
All right, you guys talk about this, and I'm going to look up the story, and I'll tell you exactly how many times this piece of shit's been arrested for what he did. The part where I said talk amongst yourselves.
I mean,
this is a very interesting topic. Go ahead, Boney.
No, I mean, The true sex offenders that get screwed are the 18-year-old guys that are banging a 17-year-old chick, where the chick will send him a text message with a naked picture, and then he's showing all his friends or whatever, and then come to find out he's sharing kiddie porn. That kind of, ain't no way in hell he should get his joint cut off. But if it's a 53-year-old man... So, I'm looking at a guy here. He's 37, 5'6", 190 pounds. He was arrested for possession of child pornography. If he were to ever touch a kid, he should get his nuts cut off. He lives in my area.
I agree. I agree with Boney on both fronts. I don't think I've ever said that.
Well,
yeah, I think it's really cut and dry. yeah, dudes should have their nuts cut off if they, molest kids.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to take it a step further, and I think you should cut their hands off, too.
Yeah, we'll just kill them. Let them die.
No, man. I would prefer that someone live.
I mean, I have existence. Right. I mean, I have kids, and I have a 4-year-old daughter. And if a grown man touched my daughter, I mean, I would be more likely to murder them than I would to, you know, cut their junk off. But that's just me personally.
I mean, I don't want to make the podcast all serious like that, but, we, you know, we got a lot of good feedback.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, if that's what we're talking about.
On our hot feminist takes. So why not talk about more current events?
No, that hot feminist takes, you all three of you were silent while I just...
Well, yeah, because we believe women should be allowed to vote. You know, and just,
all women.
Women should have basic rights.
Yes, all women.
Fuck yes, all women.
Are you gonna try that hashtag on Twitter? See how it goes?
No, dude. I got a response the other day on Father's Day of all days, and I'm not a father, but I get really pissed.
But you have a father.
Yeah, but I get really pissed when I go on to Facebook and I see all these yentas on there yentering about, oh, well, let's send a shout-out to Happy Father's Day to all the moms.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It's like,
there's
go
single
fuck
dads out there, too.
Yeah. It's like, go fuck yourself. If I went on Facebook saying shout-out to all the dads who are the moms to all the worthless moms out there, my mom would be furious if I said something like that.
Well, I mean, there was a legitimate end Father's Day movement that I think Aaron and I both jumped into toe deep.
Yeah, well, I had some chick reply to me on, and I say chick, yes, all women people. So I had some random chick on Facebook jump in my mentions with this, oh, well, your yes, all women is a bunch of abused women, and not all of them feel like Father's Day should be over. It's like, get the fuck out. When I searched yes, all women on Father's Day, it was so anti-men, anti-fathers. It's like, go F yourself. That's my take. And the three of you can sit over there and giggle all you want. Yes, hey, all women, go F yourselves.
That's a hot take, Tony.
Yeah, it's steaming, piping hot, man.
Scorching hot.
Fresh off the grill, hot takes from Boney. We're going to have, I think at some point, we're going to have like a little extra to the podcast, and it's going to be like, you know, kind of the reporter thing at the end we do, but it'll just be like a 5 minutes with Boney, and we'll just let you discuss race or gender relations or just anything controversial. We can abortion. We'll have you talk abortion 1 week, and it'll just be like Boney's hot takes.
Yeah.
No, because I want you all to feel like you're participating.
Yeah,
well,
but
man, you're the star of the podcast. I mean, you don't spare to tell anyone that anytime you feel. You have like two wavelengths. You're either like, I'm the best ever, or, oh, man, these guys don't want me no more.
I only say that because Aaron's sponsor gets on there and says, you could do the podcast without Boney. Well, and then I make one tweet, and then Mark jumps in my DMs like Bay does and tells me to shut the fuck up.
Mark, what happened when we tried to do the podcast without Boney last week?
It was a little weird. You and I had a very awkward 20-minute conversation about how Universal Studios is awesome and that I should buy a Fitbit.
That's true.
That was
yeah, that sounds pretty interesting.
Well, the thing was with Mark and I there, it was just a very adult-like conversation, and we don't, that really doesn't get, nobody wants to hear that.
No, if I want that, I'll go to like my kid's Little League game and talk to the people I don't want to talk to.
Yeah, here we're supposed to be immature and hate women.
Right. So back to sex offenders, there's a woman in my neighborhood named Vanessa.
Oh, geez, don't name her.
No, she lives right behind my building. And her statute back in 2003, so she's been a sex offender for 11 years. Back in 2003, she committed a crime against nature, and in a parenthesis it says sodomy. Do I even want to know what that is?
Well, I don't.
So, did she fuck a tree?
I don't know. That's all it says.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Yeah, wow. There's some pretty, looking at this list, I would be like a 10 if you put me up against all these guys and gave us all a hotness rating 1 to 10. Look at all these losers in my neighborhood that are on the registered sex offender list.
What does Boney rate himself as now?
I'm a strong 5.
I think we can all relate. I feel like I'm kind of a 5 too. We're all 5.
Yeah, we should call this the 5 podcast.
That's all right. You know,
I'd say I'm about a 5. Yeah, sure. I'm a 5.
Mike, what are you? 5?
On the attractive scale?
Yeah.
I'm not giving myself higher than that.
Yeah.
Giving myself a 6.
Oh, I guess Mike's the most attractive one on the podcast.
We should just call it the Jarvie scale, with Jarvie being 10 and everything below that.
And I'm like a 1 if we're going on a Jarvie scale.
Because I gotta say,
like, Matthew Amadeus Jarvie, there's going to be a sculpture of him one day. In the middle of Detroit.
The Mona Lisa, the Matthew.
The Mona Jarvie.
I'm kind of attracted to Jarvie lately. I mean, he's got that sex appeal.
He's thinning. He's getting thin. He's getting fit.
Yep.
He doesn't eat bacon anymore, he said.
He's just...
It's going to be Mark, Aaron, and Mike's Jarvie.
Am I the only one on here who thinks that bacon is the most overrated food?
No, I agree with you. I do like it, but it's not like everyone on Twitter is like, oh my God, bacon, it's the best.
Everyone in life is like that about bacon.
It's not that, it's all right. It's a good compliment to things. Like, I can have some with my breakfast. I can have some on a sandwich, but it's not like a meal. Like, I'd rather have a good cheese. Have a good piece of steak or a hamburger or a piece of chicken than
bacon. What were you saying, Aaron?
I said, you're a food aficionado. What's your opinion on bacon?
Bacon's okay.
Mark, okay. You've enjoyed a few plates of food in your time.
Tonight. I'm on the same page with you all. I think bacon is an enjoyable food, but I'm not going to, like, you know, make my own bacon Instagram.
Makes sense.
I mean, I'm not pulling my pants down at the thought of eating a piece of bacon or anything.
Commit a sexual crime against bacon?
No. Just trees.
If banging a tree is a crime against nature, what would banging a piece of bacon be?
It would be like heaven.
Mark, is there another topic you wanted to talk about?
Well, I mean, I was going to piggyback the stuff we were talking about with Yes All Women with Brad Ausmus's comment. I mean, where did you guys come out on that?
I thought, being the politically correct world we're in, he should know better than to say it, but did I personally have a problem with it? I did not. Just a poorly executed joke to a bunch of people who weren't going to enjoy that joke.
No, it wasn't poorly executed.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, not poorly executed, but he shouldn't have said it to the group he said it to.
He shouldn't have.
Do I have a problem with what he said? No, because obviously he was being sarcastic, and things don't really offend me like that. But as a manager of a baseball team, you should know better than to say that, because everybody's sensitive, and it's going to offend people.
Right, and I think it kind of it works off of that old, you know, that's like an old term that you use. I mean, I'm certainly not trying to defend it, but like maybe about a year and a half ago, David Stern was on Jim Rome, and Jim Rome asked him about, is the NBA fixed? And Stern responded by saying, do you still beat your wife? Like, you know, he knows that Jim Rome doesn't beat his wife, but it's like an anecdote you say because it's an unanswerable question. You know, like, no, I don't still beat my wife, or yes, I still beat my wife. The way that they were questioning Ausmus, you know, how do you deal with a loss like this? Well, you just deal with it, you know. So he made a poorly executed joke in a manner that normally shouldn't get him crucified, but it did, because, you know, he's like, oh, I just go home and beat my wife, and got crickets in response.
I mean,
Boney, defend it.
No, I mean, I've said that joke before. Obviously, I don't have a wife, but I actually probably no. When I heard about it this morning, I said to somebody at work, I was like, I just made that joke to one of you guys like a little over a month ago. I mean,
right?
I don't. So was it poorly executed? No, it wasn't poorly executed. He said the joke exactly the way the joke was meant to be said. It was poorly timed.
Should have never been said.
Yeah, but it was in the wrong company, because I'm sure if he'd have said that joke in a discussion with Dave Dombrowski, Dave Dombrowski would have said, you know, he would have probably followed it up with a joke along the same lines. Do I think it was in poor taste? Absolutely not, because these guys are here to entertain us, and we've had a lot worse managers in the past say a lot worse things, and it's just this day and age, you can't say anything about anything to anybody, and it's the only reason why you can't say it anymore is because there's a group for every single affliction, whether it's a self-affliction or whether it's an affliction dealt onto you by a loved one or a coworker or a friend or whatever. You know, I've used the joke before. I've told friends of mine, if I didn't go on vacation this past week, that I was just going to keep coming home from work pissed off, and I was just going to keep kicking the cat. I mean, PETA is going to be pissed off at Brad Ausmus if he said the joke the same way that I said it? I'm sure they would have. They would have said, well, animal abuse, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I think it's unfortunate that the time we're in now, you know, some woman abuser out there is probably saying, well, Brad Ausmus says it's okay, so I'm going to go home and beat my wife. And I think that's just shitty to think that people actually act like that.
I have nothing else to add to that.
There's a guy I graduated high school with that's on the registered sex offender list.
Oh, nice. I think, that's five topics that Mark has thrown in the hat, one for Aaron, and then you got these two fucking schlubs that aren't adding much of anything. So why don't you guys come up with a topic to talk about?
Are you fucking kidding me? We talked the most out of all four of you clowns.
Yeah, but you haven't really, you know, added any topics. You're just,
Well, maybe if he'd have sent us the to-do list, we could have added some topics.
I sent it to the important people on the podcast.
Yeah, the one person on the podcast who hasn't paid.
I didn't send it to Aaron.
No, he didn't send it to me. He sent it to Mike.
I want to know why he got muted by Boney.
Because the other day, I mean, the Tigers are just
atrocious right now. Right?
They're just shitting the bed. And I'm tired of seeing hashtag Tigers call. You know, I'm tired of reading the below average scout. You know, to all you people who follow me now because of the podcast, who are Tigers fans, who
all
take my side,
you
know, the below average scout, Andrew Welch, and any of you other D-bags that feel like you should type in all caps, you know, go screw. You know, I can't deal with it. And when I see that, and then I turn around and I see Aaron hashtagging Tigers call, and then I see Mike asking just dumbass questions about Tigers call, I just can't do it. I just can't.
Questions about what? About screenshots of the standings back in April?
Yeah, no, it's not even that. Like, I don't care about that. But then posting screenshots from a month ago when people were talking shit.
You're the same guy who, when the Indians and Tigers were playing and the Indians were sweeping the Tigers, you were in the middle of game three when the Tigers were leading, after they'd already lost the first two games, you wanted a score update. Tigers winning.
Yeah.
And then when they lost, you went to the standings update that you wanted. So now, when the Tigers are up 7.5, 8.5, 9.5 games, it's all okay to talk about. But when the Indians and the Royals, who are in first place, and the Indians, who are right on the Tigers' tail, coming up on a three-game series with the Tigers, it's not okay to talk about anymore.
No, I get it. But I'm not a part of Tigers' cult. And when
you're one of the like top ranking executives of Tigers.
No, not at all.
Well, we make.
I mean, the ones you called out are more of the reasonable Tigers fans.
Oh, you're full of shit. You obviously
Welch and Skowkowski. Yeah, they're pretty reasonable.
Skowkowski's very reasonable. I don't consider him a member of the Tiger cult.
I am not a member of the Tiger cult.
Mark is not a member of the Tiger cult. Andrew Welch, Tiger cult. Goon, Tiger cult. Lance, president of Tiger cult.
You're like vice president, Moni.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that you admitted you're a Tigers fan is a step in the right direction.
I've always been obvious.
Well, yeah, of course, you always admit the teams that are winning you're a fan of. Sure.
Right.
No, I've always...
Michigan thing, you just kind of kept in the closet for a long time.
Okay.
So Michigan wins a national championship in 2 years, and you're the leader of the bandwagon. Oh,
yeah, well, then I'll be all over Twitter twit-picking me in a Michigan shirt, and I'll have vines of me stroking my dick to Ohio State shit. Yeah.
Just remember you need to make as many screenshots as possible when the tables turn...
So here's the thing, though. When you go on Twitter, you go in life, and you make yourself a troll of other people's misery, you know. So, see, this is the thing. This is a little-known fact about me. I never, ever said a word about Michigan about 3 years ago. So then I got on this little thing called Twitter, and I started following my first Michigan fan, which happened to be Mike. Well, it got to me after about 6 or 7 months of following Mike and seeing the constant Ohio State stuff. And then I found Goon, and that pushed it all over the edge. So I just decided to I had to give back some because I was constantly being bombarded with their but you have to understand, when you do that, I can do that all I want now. But if Michigan beats Ohio State next year in Columbus, like, I have to understand and accept that it's going to come back to me really, really bad.
Right.
But you have to know that going in when you're going to troll anybody. If there's a chance, get it.
That's how I'm with the Tigers. I didn't even think of the Tigers as being a rival of the Indians until I was on Twitter. Like, they're just a team that we played a few times, like, in the division, and it was whatever. And then I started following Lance and Goon going about, oh, my God, we got Prince Fielder, and then tweeting about his home runs in spring training. And then earlier this year, he's complete trash. But, like, a year ago, he was the greatest first baseman to ever play baseball.
I will admit that our buddy Lance tends to get a little bit out there. But
he told me that the Tigers have 6 aces.
That's it. Huh?
6. And Robbie Ray was one of them guys.
I would
Must-see JV.
I would trade the... you know, I mean, just enjoy Corey Kluber while you can, because he'll be a Tiger next year.
No, he won't. He's under contract.
He's gonna...
Kluber Cabrera will be.
Oh, that was the best reaction Mike's ever had. No, he's under contract.
I'm going to check.
Yeah, because he's a 28-year-old second-year pitcher.
Oh, here we go. Everybody down on the ground for Boney.
He's on a one-year $514,000 deal. He's a free agent. Arbitration eligible. He's a Tiger.
How many times is he going to go through arbitration before the Indians realize they can't afford him?
Sort of thing that they've, like, never lost an arbitration case, though.
Well, yeah, because when you trade away all your arbitration-eligible players that are worth a shit, you don't have to worry about it.
It's amazing the Indians are only 2 games back behind those mighty Tigers. Or is it 1.5 after today? Or is it
2.5?
No, they're 2.5 back of first place.
How the hell are they ever going to come back from that?
So what's up with this guy in Cleveland who is fighting his First Amendment rights for trying to warn people for DUI checkpoints in Parma?
Huh?
There's a story online. There's this Cleveland dude. He says the police are violating his First Amendment rights because he keeps holding up a sign warning motorists that there's a DUI checkpoint coming up. And he keeps getting arrested for it. Some Cleveland dude.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That's hilarious, though.
He probably
he's
should
a good, he's a good citizen.
Oh, yeah, because people should really drive drunk.
Well, no, I'm not saying they should, but I don't think they should be able to arrest him for that.
Why not?
I mean,
he's endangering other people.
I mean, there's a town right by where I live that has a speed camera that has got, like, everybody up in a tizzy about. And they've got, like a half mile before you ever get to it, wherever they have it placed, like, they have this big, giant, like, wooden sign. They just move, and it says, like, speed camera ahead, slow down.
So, so you don't have to, up where, in that area, they don't have to, the city doesn't have to post a sign that says there's a speed camera?
No, it does, it's not from the city. I mean, it's just something somebody made and put up. I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm not saying what the guy's doing right. I mean, you should get arrested if you're driving drunk, but I don't know if you should really be able to arrest a guy for that.
You should be able to arrest a guy for that because he's endangering other people.
Yeah, but is there a law that, I mean, what are they arresting him on grounds of?
If you're warning drunk drivers, they're going to go turn around and then they're going to drive drunk somewhere else and possibly hurt someone or themselves.
So what are they charging him with if they're arresting him?
They're charging him with disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly not going to.
That makes sense. They should.
Like, I'm not going to throw a fit that they're arresting the guy, I guess. I don't really care. That's a weird subject to me that you can just arrest somebody for that.
I mean, the guy must have a lot
of
time on his
hands. You're interfering with the law doing their job.
Well, I guess. But
when he's not holding up a sign that says checkpoint ahead, he's probably just sitting in the parking lot of his office podcasting.
Is there? Yeah, it's both.
I'm going to ask you a question, and this is going to be a little awkward, so get ready.
Oh, God.
Would you rather go to jail for a DUI or be arrested for having sex with a Philly cheesesteak in your car?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
Philly cheesesteak in my car.
Philly cheesesteak in my car.
Well, so if we get arrested for the DUI, we're assuming we didn't actually hurt anyone, though?
Yeah, you probably just got pulled over at a checkpoint.
Yeah, but it's going to go on your record, and it's obvious.
And it's a big-ass fine that your insurance company.
When you're a
registered
sex offender for violation of food.
It's not a sex offender, though.
You're not a sex
offender.
Well,
you're a sex offender for banging a tree. Why wouldn't you be a sex offender for banging a Philly cheesesteak?
Now you're just making false allegations. You have no idea what that woman did.
Well,
Mark bluntly told me that she banged a tree.
I didn't
Mark doesn't
that.
Know this woman that lives behind
yeah.
me.
Yeah, Tony knows her.
Can you
yeah, I know her.
We'll just interview her on the podcast.
Sure.
Can you get her on next week?
No. Can you get that guy from high school?
She doesn't look like she understands English.
Can you get the guy from high school that's a sex offender?
Oh, what does that mean?
No, because what I remember of him, he's a little off mentally.
Oh, you don't say. All right, so the only reason why I asked
that... Oh, man, hold Corey Kluber back. He made his Major League debut at the ripe age of 25. He's such a prospect. Fucking guys.
Oh,
so,
no.
This dude in Philadelphia...
He's probably going to beat you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I was going to say something, but my feelings are hurt, and I'm not going to say it.
Even about the guy who in Philadelphia banged the cheesesteak.
Yes, I want to talk about the guy who's exposed his dick and tried to have sex with Swiss cheese, and there's four different female victims coming forward saying the guy pulled up next to him and said, "Hey, ladies, watch me fuck this Swiss cheese." That's a good story. It's better than Corey Kluber.
Well, the only one on the podcast that can fit in a hole in Swiss cheese is Mike. So, Mike, can you please tell us how that would be?
Just throwing out accusations.
You've left him speechless. Mike, do you care to comment, or would you make your own hole?
You mad, Mike?
Is he no longer there? Did Mike drop off at the perfect time?
No, he's still there. He has us on mute.
Maybe he went to get some cheese.
Maybe he was actually stroking it while we talked about it.
I don't know the direction to even go with that.
Mike Vick hit a home run in a softball game and then started running for third base first.
But you know what's funny is I'm coaching my older son's t-ball team, and that has not happened once this year, and they are 5 and 6 years old.
You mean Urban Meyer's nephew is the natural at t-ball?
Both of my kids are very good t-ball players. I mean, it's coach pitch, but they hit off the tee if they can't hit that. So I'm firing in 14-mile-per-hour fastballs to them.
So
where's Mike?
I don't know, man.
I'm here.
Mike, did you hear the accusation against you?
No.
Really?
Whatever. Bonnie
said that you're the only one with a small enough penis to fit inside a Swiss cheese hole, is basically what was said. Bonnie said that.
So I asked for comment on the story about fucking a cheesesteak.
Yeah, so we want your comment on him talking about your junk size for whatever reason.
I got nothing to say back to that.
That I asked, did you disappear because you were going to get some cheese?
I don't know what happened.
He's sitting in the chair now pouring hot cheese whiz all over his bare chest. Just
hot cheese.
Yeah.
No? We recorded much too late.
I agree.
I think this whole thing's gone awry that 45 minutes in we're talking about Swiss cheese bowls.
Do I think we're having a better podcast than we did the last go around? Yes. That may have been our worst effort, flat out.
I think any time you talk about sexual offenses against trees and cheese and things like that, how couldn't it be a good podcast?
Pork pie dumpling, right?
Podcast. Yes.
I thought last week was fine. Or the week last week podcast was fine.
Me too, Bonnie.
Mm. Oh, so how do we... So speaking of topics, and I know we're getting to the end of it here, but how do we feel about the patent office in D.C.? Basically saying Redskins is offensive, so we took away your 6 patents. Not that it's really doing anything, but it's the first major step that anybody's done.
Okay, here's how I feel about anything in that situation. Patenting is patenting, and yeah, that's a big step, but the only way anything like that's ever going to change, and the only way that anything in our country ever changes, is if you affect the wallet. Donald Sterling decided, I'm going to actually sell this team now, because every sponsor that sponsored the Clippers was like, well, we're just not going to sponsor you anymore, so we're out. So if the Redskins losing that patent actually cost them money, I guarantee they change their name in a heartbeat. Until it does, nothing will happen.
Okay. Aaron, comment?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Mark. I mean, it's kind of an offensive name. I don't know how I feel about taking away their patents. I don't know if it'll ultimately affect anything. I think if I understand it right, it basically means that you can now sell, you know, Redskins merchandise, but, you know, like you or I could go make it and it actually say Washington Redskins, I guess. But I don't know. It's much ado about nothing in my world.
Yeah. Mike, do you have anything?
I'm kind of on the same page as Aaron. The only part I don't like is I don't feel like the government should be reaching into this. I don't think they have any stake in this at all. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, I think the individual officials kind of do, though, because if they're up for an election and say in a tight race, you know, one way or the other, I mean, minorities always make or break a candidacy. just because, you know, they're you're either going to bring out the vote in certain areas or you're not going to bring out the vote because there's just not an interest there. And this could be a thing that's a driving force behind, I don't know, yep, getting more people out to vote for you.
But do people vote for the patent office?
No, but, like, not the patent office necessarily, but, like Harry Reid. You know, if Harry Reid was ever in a position where he could be voted out.
Like, I understand that. I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand how the patent office has any stake in this at all. I get what you're saying about politicians coming out and saying something against it. That's one thing.
Yeah, I guess I was just more responding to, you know, you don't understand what the government is, you know, getting involved with it. That's all.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page now.
Yeah, my thought on it, I don't really care one way or the other, and that sounds insensitive, but
I don't really either.
The team has been called that for however many years, and I guess with the turn in how society's going, and it's really all going back to the Brad Ausmus quote-unquote tasteless joke. I mean, it's just the way that society's going, and yeah, everybody should, in my opinion, everybody should have a chance to have all the same liberties as everybody else, but you're pretty much, at this point, we're pretty much just looking for things to find wrong instead of, you know, forging ahead and making things tomorrow better. We're looking back to, you know, other things to find wrong that, you know, could just be overlooked or, you know, whatever.
Back in the 60s, we thought as a country that it was awesome to make a television comedy show about a concentration camp and call it Hogan's Heroes. And it was like Nazis and people in a concentration camp. And how, let's see what zany, hilarious things we can do with these people that are in a concentration camp in Germany. So yeah, it's definitely a lot different. Because would a show like that ever come out today? Could you imagine if ABC was like, coming this fall, 10 people trying to survive a concentration camp and the crazy shit they get into. Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, but those people that enjoyed those shows back then are the ones that raised our parents, and then our parents are the ones that raised us. And it's now our generation that's being the major push to politically make everything politically correct.
Aaron, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about all this?
I'm waiting for my hot take at the end.
It's your turn.
Yeah, but it's not my hot take time yet.
Yeah.
Oh, so
it's hot take time. We're down to 5 minutes.
Oh, we're going to do our little sports reporter moment?
Mm-hmm.
Or just reporter, whatever that we want to talk about moment?
Yes.
Well, I guess I don't have a ton, but mine would just be the whole LeBron James, decision 2.0 that he has coming up. I've been really annoyed over the last 3 or 4 years with every decision my Cleveland Cavaliers make that seems to just be aimed to appease LeBron and somehow, lure LeBron back to Cleveland, which ultimately, I mean, if LeBron comes back to Cleveland, that would be amazing. But I just think at what point as a franchise do you let a guy who set you back from leaving at 4 years later and we're still basing our decisions, or the organization is basing their decisions they make on appeasing a guy who there is a small chance that he comes back and plays for you. I just think it's time, and I hope after this summer, regardless of what happens, even though I fear that he's going to play one more year with the Heat and then really test his free agency next year, so I think this might go on for another year. But I think the Cavs need to start making decisions like LeBron James doesn't exist, and we can just move on from LeBron. And if, you know, by the grace of God, LeBron ends up back in Cleveland, great, but it's time to, get over the whole LeBron thing after this summer.
Okay. Mike, what do you have to say? What's your deal for tonight?
Can Boney go? still gathering my thoughts.
I'll go.
Okay.
I just tweeted out a picture of a school that gave the artist Pitbull an honorary degree.
I saw that.
And he's flicking off the camera, and it just makes me really proud that I'm in thousands of dollars in student loan debt, and that, you know, if you work really hard and make really shitty music and say Dale, someone's going to give you a degree, and you can shit on that degree and flip the camera off. And I just, I'm really happy about, you know, where the direction I took in my life, that I, you know, I can spend the next 25 years paying these loans back. And I just feel really proud of my choices.
Pitbull's a really ugly dude, too.
Yeah, he is. And he's a fucking millionaire.
Bony?
So, this past week, we laid NBA Twitter to rest, and I want to be the one that eulogizes, you know, and says nice things about something that dies, you know, that we all participate in or we discuss with or about. But let me say this, that NBA Twitter is never missed by me at the end of each NBA final series, and when actually NBA Twitter can turn all of its GIFs, screenshots of shit that I just watched on TV 2 seconds ago, unfunny jokes by bloggers who have no inflection in their voice when they get on a podcast, so I can't even listen to a fucking podcast anymore. And I'll admit, I don't even listen to ours just because I don't like the way that I sound. But yeah, back in the day, when I tried to listen to podcasts back in the day, I legitimately wanted to listen to NBA podcasts because I used to love the NBA until the recent lockout / strike, whatever it was, cry for more money by the owners and the players. But let me just say, you know, rest in peace until October, # NBA Twitter, for you will still be unfunny next season, even more unfunny. And your screenshots of a guy at a free throw line because he's, you know, sweating a lot, or a gif of a guy getting a basketball passed right to his genitals will never be funny. And yet you will do them and retweet them and tweet them again and make pictures over and over and over. May you rot in hell this offseason, NBA Twitter. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. All right. I guess I'm doing a little bit of mourning or a sign off myself with the couple things. The end of the run of the Miami Heat. You know, I think it's been a – people would call it a success. I think that one statement they made in their little fireworks display the first day they got together when LeBron proclaimed that they were going to win 7 championships makes it a colossal failure. And I'm with Boney with laying the NBA season to rest. I never thought I'd say this, but after watching the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs, becoming a new NHL fan, I have to say that the product of the NHL far surpasses anything the NBA has to offer. Never thought I'd ever say that, but the NHL gained a new big fan in myself and really enjoyed the Stanley Cup Finals. It was only 5 games, but it sure beat the 5-game series that the NBA put on.
Okay. Well, we're at an hour. Want to apologize for the layoff last week. That's 100% on Boney and Mike. Aaron and I had a delightful
It is. I got drunk and fell asleep.
And, you know, Boney was like the midnight warrior, like, where the fuck's the podcasters, bro, you pussies?
So, yeah, and you're talking to Aaron, who still has yet to pay for shit, so I don't want to hear anything.
I will soon be sponsored by this.
Do you want to give him a shout-out real quick?
I share as a... So, shout-out to the sports gym. He is probably the most sane most reasonable and most wonderful Detroit / Michigan fan I have ever come in contact with. And when we hang out sometime, I will give him a big hug and let him buy me food and beer.
And before we sign off, and we can talk about this more next week, I just want to give a shout out to Polk, Ohio. I will be inside of you at some point in the first weekend of September for my asshole cousin's wedding.
Oh, you will be 40 minutes from where I live.
I will
travel to Polk often for work.
You guys should drive 20 minutes each way and meet each other. It's only fair.
You should.
We will do a podcast together.
I don't know about all that, but we can meet.
And do a podcast together?
Well, dude. I'm Mark.
No, it's just awkward.
You can follow me at Mark the Nomad on Twitter. I'm just going to talk over these guys.
Polk has a population of 336. Wow.
Yeah, and it's nothing but well water. It can give you diarrhea if you drink it. That's pretty
follow him.
Pretty good civilization you have in Ohio, people.
That's Boney.
I treated carbonate as Polk once.
At __ Boney. And then there's Aaron.
I threw Polk, Ohio, and yes, I believe.
And now I'm going to hang up the phone.
If you blink twice, you've driven through Polk, Ohio.
I'll be able to find you just by driving through there.
The podcast is over.
You can talk to me and all the Amish people.
Go die in a fucking fire. Goodbye. It was a